Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
All right, let's move now from the budget to South Africa's intensifying row with the United States. And in an opinion piece headlined "The Case for International Sanctions Against the U.S., commentator and writer Nick Headley argues that international law doesn't seem to apply to the United States and its allies, and he says it's time it did. Headley contends that the United States often acts with impunity on the global stage, engaging in actions that would draw sanctions if committed by other nations. He suggests that the international community should hold the U.S. accountable through sanctions to uphold the principle of international law. Nick, a very warm welcome to you, and let's get to international sanctions in just a moment. But my contention would be that the world is simply too scared to do that.
Hi, Jeremy. Yeah, I fully agree. I think the U.S. has always kind of had an implicit sort of immunity because, and this applies to individuals as well, money and power kind of buys you favor. And unfortunately, people are, and countries as well, are just a little too scared to take on the rich and powerful.
What do you make of South Africa's current row with the United States and the way in which we seem to be standing up to it?
I think it is obviously good to be standing up for something that is right. It does obviously come with risks. You don't really want to be standing up on your own against the world's biggest and most powerful country. But again, those executive orders were based on just complete made up facts and lies. And this is something that Trump sort of does, is he shoots from the hip and then sort of works it out later and tries to establish the facts after the fact. It's sort of a threatening posture towards the rest of the world, which is very good for negotiating and getting what you want, but is not necessarily based on fact.
So let's test your thinking around the sanctions if we can. And some, Nick, would argue, I think, that sanctioning the United States would have economic repercussions and significant economic repercussions worldwide. Surely the idea looks good on paper, but there is the potential for global economic instability, surely.
Yeah, absolutely. There would be downsides. And I mean, I think maybe it is good to just make the disclaimer that I very much doubt anyone would sanction the US, but I do think there is a really strong case to be made for that, even if it's just in theory. And I think I would hope we'd see more countries starting to sort of stand up to the US's behavior and not just simply allow it to happen. But as you say, if in the hypothetical case that sanctions were imposed on the US, it would bring a lot of pain economically. However, I do think that would be relatively short-lived. The whole global trade would sort of realign, and instead of, you know, buying finished products from the US, you could switch to your other suppliers in Europe and China. So I don't think it would be crippling or devastating or very long-lasting, because the global trade would sort of realign, but it would come with some pain.
Nick, I know that we're talking subjectively here, but the United States might argue that its actions are in the best interests of global security and also in terms of promoting its vision or version of democracy. Again, does that justification hold water in the context of international law, I wonder?
No. Well, firstly, I'm not an international law expert, but according to all of the international legal experts, it would absolutely not hold up. So Trump has threatened to use economic force to sort of absorb Canada to become an American state. Repeatedly, he said he wants to take over Greenland from Denmark, and also threatening to seize the Panama Canal from Panama. And that's, of course, over and above him saying last week that he wants to basically root 2 million Palestinians out of Gaza and redevelop the whole strip into an international resort that the U.S. would control, which is all very much, and you don't need to be a legal expert to understand that that's a huge contravention to international law, the UN Charter, and territorial sovereignty. If any other country was doing this, they'd be viewed as a rogue state, a pariah state. So We just seem to view the US with this lens of immunity, sort of they're above the law, which is quite odd when you actually sit back and think about it.
And Nick, that lens of immunity that you refer to is also something which the United Nations, for instance, is looking through right now. Surely it has a more significant role to play in holding not just the United States, but other powerful nations accountable, and yet it doesn't seem to do that. Much protestation, but very little action.
Yeah, I think the problem here again is that UN member states are a little too scared to take on the US. So while the UN will sort of try and say the right things, it doesn't have the backing of individual states when it comes to holding very big, powerful countries to account. And that's quite tricky. And I think the risk there is that the UN could almost become irrelevant if countries don't stand up for, you know, the whole so-called international rules-based order. So if the world wants to kind of maintain some kind of semblance of the global rules-based order and the functionality of the UN, I think it is time that countries stand up and sort of put their weight behind the UN and international legal experts.
Just finally, is there any other way apart from the United Nations that smaller nations could navigate these power dynamics when, as you've rightly pointed out, the rules do differ for more powerful countries?
It's a tricky one. And I think taking on powerful countries on your own is never really going to succeed. I think what you do need to do is sort of build coalitions of countries taking on more powerful superpowers, which is kind of what I guess the BRICS country movement is trying to achieve. I think there is always a risk that as you move towards a sort of multipolar world where the US is a bit less dominant, is that other, you know, bad actor superpowers could emerge and just fill its place. So again, I think another reason why you need a very strong UN that that has the full backing of all of its member states to try and sort of maintain that fair and equitable rules-based international order.
And I mean, the difficulty, and just very quickly, it's for BRICS nations, for instance, it's always difficult to balance the need for cooperation against often naked self-interest.
Yeah, absolutely. I think every country's got its own self-interest that it will pursue above others. I think the US is now an extreme case of self-interest above others. But you do see that wherever nations kind of cooperate and work on similar shared goals, it is mutually beneficial. There's mutual benefit to enhancing trade and cooperation on research and development and all of that. So it's both. It's kind of healthy competition, I guess, is the kind of sweet spot there.
Writer and commentator Nick Hedley, as always, appreciate the conversation. Thank you so much.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.